I'm speaking with Yavar Hamid. Yavar Hamid is an Ottawa-based lawyer. He is also the counsel for Abu Sofyan Abdulrazak, who is currently still at the Canadian Embassy in the Sudan, wanting to come back to Canada where he is a Canadian citizen. Yavar, welcome to No One's Legal Radio.
Thanks, Taggy.
Yavar, tell our listeners who Abu Sofyan Abdulrazak is. He is getting more and more attention because he has been living essentially at the Canadian Embassy in the Sudan for almost a year. Tell us about his case and its significance.
Mr. Abdulrazak is a Canadian citizen. He came to Canada in the early 1990s from Sudan and was accepted as a convention refugee and later gained citizenship status in Canada. In 2003, he went to Sudan on a visit to see his ailing mother, and shortly after his arrival there, he was detained by Sudanese authorities. And in two successive jail terms, he spent about 20 months in prison, where he was abused and tortured. And the thing that's so shocking about this case is that Canadian officials recommended that he be detained, and that was an arbitrary and illegal detention, which is very clear. And they also visited him while he was in detention. Now, since 2003, he's been trying to get back to Canada, and the real alarming thing about this case is that we have recently, within about the last year, we've discovered all sorts of elements within the Canadian government who have been trying to frustrate his efforts to come back to Canada. In this sort of most recent initiative to buy a plane ticket for him is a response to some very recent conditions that have been put on the possibility of his repatriation. That is to say that he needs to have a paid for ticket and travel itinerary, and we're hopeful that maybe the Canadian government will actually abide by its promise and allow him to come back, given the fact that this ticket has been purchased for him.
Yavar, Abu Sofyan Abdulrazak, it's been almost 1 year that he's been in the Canadian Canadian Embassy in the Sudan. He has a ticket, a plane ticket, that allows him to fly back to Canada, bought by his supporters. That ticket is for tomorrow. I'm wondering if you can tell our listeners whether or not Abu Sofyan Abdulrazak will be on a flight back to Canada to be reunited with his family.
Basically, everyone, including Abdulrazak himself, is waiting with bated breath. We have followed up a couple of times with the Department of Foreign Affairs this week, and their answer to us is not that he has been refused, but they cannot yet provide us with an answer. So we're really just being left in limbo. He is obviously the one who's most affected, and he's not overly optimistic that it's going to happen, but there's still a possibility because there's been no refusal.
The people who bought a ticket for Abdulrazak themselves might face consequences. Abdulrazak has hanging over him the taint of being linked to terrorism, although those charges have never been proven in a court. It's innuendo at this point. The people, the 200 or so people across the country who chipped in anywhere from $10 to $200 in order to buy this ticket, themselves are facing repercussions. Could you speak to that reality, and do you think that will happen?
Again, it's as unclear as anything in this case. What I can tell you is that, legally speaking, the people who have collected and contributed money directly for that plane ticket are in violation of a federal regulation. That federal regulation is a Canadian regulation. It's pursuant to a Canadian statute called the United Nations Act. And any violation of a regulation of that nature may be prosecuted with a term of incarceration of up to 10 years. Now, the Canadian government, the Attorney General, has been is obviously aware of the fact that this ticket has been bought, and it has not made any statement whatsoever that it will not exercise its discretion to prosecute. And so that remains a risk. We can't necessarily assume that that there's no risk for these people, but given the number of people, the fact that people are from sort of all walks of life, it will become a very serious public issue if the government dares to prosecute, in my view.
Yavar Abu-Sofyan Abdulrazak is being compared to Maher Arar, to Abdullah al-Malki, to the other men who were renditioned or outsourced essentially to torture in countries that practice that torture, whether it's Syria or Egypt or in this case the Sudan. Could you speak to that? Could you speak to the fear that if Abu-Sofyan Abdulrazak comes back to Canada, that he will be better placed to expose yet again another case of rendition to torture?
No, I think it is very clear that there's several aspects of his case which are or would be very troubling to security authorities in this country, not because Mr. Abdulrazak poses a security risk, but because they goofed up in the way they've dealt with him. Because prior to leaving for Sudan, Mr. Abdulrazak was harassed by CSIS officials to the point where he actually called the Montreal police to intercede to prevent the harassment. When he was rendered, essentially, effectively rendered to Sudan, he went there, but once there, he was detained by Sudanese authorities on the recommendation of CSIS officials. CSIS officials then went and visited him in the Sudanese prison. And so when he comes back to Canada, he will, I would assume, be speaking about this pattern of harassment of the Canadian Security Intelligence Service in Canada, which follows people abroad and which involves some kind of collusion with torture and mistreatment of citizens in foreign countries.
Yavar, in a recent speech, the Canadian Foreign Minister, Lawrence Cannon, mentioned the fact that Abu-Sofyan Abdulrazak is on a UN watch list and that it's his job to get off of it. And this seems to be, again, another excuse used to prevent him from getting on that flight and coming back home to Canada, excuse that's being made late in the game because all the other barriers that have been put in Abu-Sofyan Abdulrazak's place have been sort of pushed aside with some creative organizing and with important awareness raising and legal work. So could you refute what Lawrence Cannon is saying vis-a-vis another obstacle in the face of Abdulrazak's return to Canada?
I think it's just another in a series of deceitful responses by this government. And it's a statement that was made by Lawrence Cannon, I believe, outside of the House of Commons. It's been echoed by the Parliamentary Secretary, Deepak O'Brien, within the House. And that's been on a couple of different occasions. And they're basically saying that the onus is on Mr. Abdulrazak, someone who's living in the Canadian Embassy 24/7, to get himself off United Nations terror list before the Canadian government will basically do what it's already promised for years to do, which is issue him a travel document if he could trace back his itinerary from Sudan to Canada. And every time he gets close to that goal, they keep moving the goalposts. And I think this is just a tactic by the Canadian government to try to obfuscate, to try to obscure things, to make it seem like there is a legitimate reason that the Canadian government is trying to stall him. But the fact of the matter is that this is racism. This government, and by indication of the statements of Mr. Cannon and of the Conservative government, is having one standard for individuals like Brandon Martin and others who the Canadian government will spend money on, and I might add several thousands of dollars to aid certain cases of Canadians in distress and other individuals who fall under this umbrella of suspicion because they happen to be Muslim or black or born in Africa are subject to another standard.
Yavar Hamid, thank you again for speaking with us on No One's Legal Radio.
Thanks, Jackie.